This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-three minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. A wild, wild Monday. We haven't even touched the brackets just yet. We got to get into that. We got NFL free agency happening. The Broncos are making moves. The Nuggets and the Avs are in turmoil right now. So much to talk about, so little time. But we are pumped about this next guest. Color analyst for the Colorado State men's basketball team on the radio side of things and former Colorado State Ram. What a wonderful story he has. Adam Nygon joining us. Adam, my man, thanks so much for giving us some time, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Big fan of the show. I know you kind of highlight everything up north here for us, and we need a broader scope to get across the state, and you're doing a great job, so thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you, man, but I appreciate you guys. I had to drive out to eastern Colorado to pick up my dad. He wanted to come up here. My old team was playing in the state tournament up here in Greeley, so I went out to get him, but I got to listen to the entire game broadcast by you guys, and of course, you just do such a phenomenal job. Such a bummer of a way for the Rams to end, of course. But, man, they seem to leave it all out on the floor. They went down swinging.
Well, I don't know what was worse, a 30-point blowout or losing the way we did and just getting our hearts ripped out. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where I would have just taken the 30-point blowout and been done with it. But, you know, to get that sliver of hope, you know, beating, you know, San Diego State, the best team in the league, and then you know, we were going to play probably San Jose State at 10 miles the next game. It would have just been too good to be true and truly just ripped your heart out the way we went down there in that last game.
Adam, that's a great point, too, because sometimes when you get the blowout, it's just like, all right, it wasn't meant to be. Let's move on with our life. But when you see it, you know, the Rams have given us that in doses throughout the season. I know they had injuries and guys were getting sick and they just never really seemed to get it all together. But they did give us little doses of what they could possibly be. And so, Adam, let me ask you this follow-up question. Because of that little dose of what maybe Colorado State could be, does that increase the chance of a guy like Isaiah Stevens coming back next year?
Man, that's everybody's question that I talk to, isn't it? They all want to know the answer to that.
Yeah,
I wish
answer,
I had
a
better answer for you. And I'll give you this from a player's perspective. I really just don't see what Isaiah has left to accomplish coming back to school. So my thing is, I just really see it hard for him to come back, and you know it's going to be might be a completely different team next year. There's a lot of guys that might come in, might go. So I just, man, all the things that he's done and everything like that, unless some NIL donor comes out of the woodworks and offers him, you know, six figures, it's really going to be tough for me to see Isaiah coming back. And I hate to say that because we've been so spoiled up there with him and what he's done the last 4 years. Let's just say that.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting nowadays, too, when we look at all these extra years players have. I can't keep track anymore, Adam.
Right.
You know, the COVID year, all that stuff. You do wonder. I mean, there's plenty of good players that I've seen just over the last 2 years, and I scratch my head wondering, why aren't they coming back? They got a year left or whatever, or they move on, they go somewhere else. But sometimes maybe these guys, you're right, they just look at it and say, I accomplished a lot. I'm breaking records. I've got the assist record. We did go to March Madness. We did a lot of great things. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is time for Isaiah to move on, which would be unfortunate, but that could be one way he's looking at it too.
Yeah, I just hope he goes pro, because you talk about ripping your heart out. If he transferred to a Power 5 or something like that, and I'm having to watch him do the same thing, but not on our side, you know, that would really rip my heart out. But, you know, I mentioned it. He's been probably the best true point guard in the league since he stepped on campus 4 years ago. I mean, for the first seven games of his career as a freshman, he was averaging like 50% from the field, 50 from three, and like 90 from free throw. And so it was like, you know, he came out of the gates shooting that and doing that, and it's like, oh, man, you know, he's never going to be able to sustain this. Well, he sustained that and more, and did a lot more at that at CSU after that. So it's just one of those things where, you know, why? How can we, you know, at CSU try and keep these guys around? That coaching staff has such a tough time, especially with just the portal and kids just jumping at the, you know, at the snap of a finger these days. I found that coaches find it hard to kind of be mean to players, if that sounds funny or not. You know, you got to almost sugarcoat everything because you know that they can just take off and play right away. They don't have to sit. There's just so many more rules, which, again, players need more control over their, you know, career in NCAA for sure. But, you know, Isaiah, I think he's going to be a great pro. And when you look at how he played and the shots that he got for our guys, we missed a lot of open shots that he got for us. So I say when he gets to the pro level, he is going to be an asset for a lot of teams just for the shots that he creates for other guys. And you get some better shooters around him, those numbers are going to increase by a lot more.
We're talking to Adam Nygon, color analyst for Colorado State, a former Colorado State Ram as well, walked on with this team. You have a phenomenal story. I want to get into that in a moment. You brought up the transfer portal stuff, too, and that is why it's just so tough to be a college coach. I can't imagine. Now they have to re-recruit. It's not just about recruiting, scouting, whatever, getting guys coming in here. You said it best. It's almost like you got to sugarcoat this thing because guys, yeah, If the wind blows in a different direction, maybe they decide, oh, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to like working with this guy or whatever. The grass is greener kind of thing. Adam, do you think that over time, maybe 5-10 years down the road, maybe we start to see some negative examples of guys moving on, their career kind of gets forgotten, whatever, that this transfer stuff will slow down a little bit? Or do you think it's going to take something like that? Or are we just, is this the wild, wild west from now on, for better or worse?
Well, I think first and foremost, we got to just get through all the COVID extra year stuff.
Right.
I can't even keep up with
us.
How many guys have a year. Yeah, so I think if we can get past another year or two of guys finally being out of that sixth year, and then the transfer stuff is, you know, I'm a former player, so I stand with the players. It's, you know, if a coach can move on at the snap of a finger, so should a player. But, you know, how can we specifically as CSU, how can we better protect ourselves to not make it so enticing for some of those guys to, you know, just see the bright lights of a Power Five and just jump ship? It's, you know, it's NIL. It's the green and gold guard up at CSU. We need, you know, we're way behind on that stuff. We need a lot of things to change, and it's ever so changing, you know, day to day with that stuff that you've got to be able to now – not only provide that you know basketball, but hey, you got to show them the money too. I mean, that's the craziest part about all this is, you know, coaches are going into families' rooms, living rooms this, you know, these off seasons, and first thing that comes out of their mouth is how much money, you know, can he make? Mm. It's not X's and O's. It's, you know, where's the money? So it's just the dynamic of recruiting and all that stuff is just, all these coaches are just, they just don't even know what to do. You're right. It's the wild, wild west. And I just don't know that in the next couple of years, it's going to change just because of NIL and money elsewhere. It really has kind of gone crazy in the NCAA as far as that goes.
Well, and the green and gold guard, as you mentioned, hopefully that's something where we're really starting to fill up some money there for these guys. And I know UNC's even toying with doing stuff like that. But that's the thing about this. It happened all so fast, Adam, before two falls ago, that a lot of schools like CSU and such, they were left out in the dark trying to figure this thing out, and a lot of programs were like that because it was brand new. It was hard to navigate through this. Now I think maybe some of these programs are starting to get into it. Even if they were reluctant, they're maybe finally saying, you know what, this is what it is. We got to start working with groups like the Green and Gold.
No, it's exactly what it is. The dynamics changed, and you know, it's got to be tough for universities too at some point to say, well, maybe don't donate to the university directly. Maybe, you know, they're not going to tell you not to donate to them anymore. So, you know, I see people got, you know, this donor fatigue, which I didn't really realize. But, man, yeah, you are asking for a lot of different money going a lot of different ways from a lot of these programs. And, you know, sometimes our alumni, you know, you are who you are. And if your biggest donors and boosters aren't stepping up in that big way, then you're going to be behind the eight ball again. And, you know, it's kind of funny with the NIL stuff. I heard a story, you know, everybody thinks these players are making millions of dollars or, you know, tens of thousands every month and all this. But I'll put it in perspective. I talked to the San Diego State assistant the other day. He says all their guys make $2,000 a month and that's it.
Hmm.
They're barely making any money outside of the businesses and stuff around the community. It's just there's this collective pool for everybody, and that's what they're getting. And then you get, you know, guys like New Mexico, who they've got a big donor base, not a lot around town. So, you know, they got some guy on their team making over 100K.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, how can you compete in a transfer portal for some of that stuff when literally as an 18-year-old kid, if somebody came up to you and said, all right, I'm going to pay you $2,000 or I'm going to pay you $100,000, you know, just to play basketball, what's your decision? You know, it's just that's the nature of the beast right now.
Well, and I think that's a great point, too, because if you're CSU, I mean, and again, I know that the green and gold guard is not part of CSU, but you want them to succeed if you're CSU. You want that to grow.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, oh, so-and-so car dealership's going, pulling their money out of the scoreboard sponsorship or whatever, and they're putting it all toward the green and gold guard. It is kind of interesting because they want each other to succeed, but they're also kind of working against each other.
It is. It's just and then they're supposed to not be affiliated with the school,
right?
Too, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, but then you can have ADs, you know, talk them up and say donate to the. It's just the NCAA has handcuffed themselves into so many different ways on how they've handled a lot of just different situations, but this in particular, it's like, okay, well now guys can get paid, but let's put some specific rules in that don't make any sense either. It's just, it's all or nothing, and it just seems like they're still trying to grab a hold of something that they can just to say they're still boss. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, it's very confusing navigating through all of this stuff. Like I said, I don't know. It's getting harder and harder to be a college coach. Adam,
right.
How cool was it for you to see what Tim Miles did throughout the course of the season with San Jose State? Of course, you walked on. You were coached by Tim Miles and all that. How cool was that? How special was that to witness what he was doing?
Well, here's a funny story. I'm in my group chat with a couple of guys and coach, and, you know, I texted a couple guys as soon as he took that job because I've seen San Jose State's facilities, the lack of community, you know, that gets behind them. And I texted to my friend. I said, man, I hate that he took this job. Mm. I absolutely hate it. I just know nobody gets behind you. It's so hard to win. How are you going to get guys that can play for you? Well, if anybody could do it, I should have known Tim could do it because he just started rolling that thing. And Brian called me out on the radio the other day when we played at San Jose State. He said, what colors are you wearing out there right now? And I'm a big Tim Miles guy, and I've been rooting for him hard. He's done such a good job, especially with just – he talk about transfers. You know, a guy at San Jose State who doesn't have any NIL money, you know, there's transfers out there who just have some baggage or some things that, you know, aren't as enticing as some of those bigger schools to where – that's what you got to do at San Jose State. You've got to get some of those transfers to come in that nobody really believed in. They know the money's not going to be there, and you know, just got to believe in coach. And gosh, it's pretty hard not to believe in him now with everything that he's doing. I mean, honestly, he should be a candidate for National Coach of the Year. It's,
sure.
It's pretty insane.
Any inside information? Where's he going to be next year?
I'm not that close. No, I don't know that. I tell people yesterday's price is not today's price for Tim, though. Let's say that.
Right. Well, we'll be curious to see how that one goes. I love your story, man. Walk on and what you were able to accomplish at CSU. One of the great Rams that we talk about, man, especially your story. I just absolutely love it. Kevin did a great write-up on you in the Colorado one the other day. So cool for you. And then now to have that connection and hearing you broadcast these games, I love that perspective that you can bring to these broadcasts.
Yeah, I do. If anybody read that article, I kind of walked in the wrong door in two different spots of my life and never left. You know, I walked in the wrong door playing basketball. I got on the basketball team. And then, guy, you know well, Jerry Schimmel actually
sure.
threw my name to, you know, somebody at CSU, and that's all it took. And they just threw me in. And it's, you know, it's been so cool to just kind of develop into that side of things, but yet still be a player and still be connected with CSU so closely that, you know, I try to tell it how it is. You know, I don't try to sugarcoat things. I if I see something that they're doing wrong, I'm going to call them out. If I see another team do something good, I'm going to say they're doing good. It's, you know, I'm kind of a basketball purist in that I root for the game, and you know, good or bad, I'm going to call it out.
Well, I certainly enjoy listening to you guys, you and Brian, of course. And man, just best of luck to you going up to next season. And as we're plotting this out, we want to stay connected with you, man. We'd love to get you on more and more. But absolutely a huge fan of yours, my friend.
No, I appreciate it. Likewise, man. I know, like I said, you kind of give us a little spotlight that we much need up north. So I'm happy to hop on whenever you need it and whenever you want to talk some Rams hoops.
I love it, man. Let's rock and roll. Let's see if the Mountain West can have a decent showing, too, in this March Madness
coming
up.
That's what I'm hoping for. Get that first win since 2018.
That's my goodness.
That's the biggest part.
Well, it seems like we got the horses. Can they do it? Can they get past that first round? Adam, my man, appreciate you. Let's stay in touch. We'll connect with you real soon.
I appreciate it, Brady. Thanks.
All right. Adam Nygon, former Colorado State Ram walk-on. Amazing story. Check that one out at the Colorado one, courtesy of our boy Kevin Lytle. 49 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Local coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.